Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to hear how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. The Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. If there's something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question perhaps you'd like to pose, call now, 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Well, it's the day fondly and sometimes not so fondly called Halloween. And it's also the final day of our look at the book of Revelation. Day 23, in fact, of our study. And here to bring it all together, Bob Christopher.
Well, this is our final day of our journey through the book of Revelation. And it's been quite inspiring, compelling. I've never been through the book like this ever before. Mm-hmm. And really seeing Jesus in the way that I think John and the Holy Spirit really cast light upon him. Like I said, most people go into the Word of God or go into the book of Revelation and they have a question in mind that they're trying to answer. Questions like, will the church go through the tribulation? Is this wrath and all of this going to impact me? And with those questions, it focuses us in ways that I think inhibit us from really seeing what God wants us to see, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
And as we come to the end of this book, and it is just a powerful book, you know, the revelation is complete. We've seen Jesus in all of his glory, power, and honor. Just from the very beginning, you know, John says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that theme was carried out all the way through, and we come to its climax here in chapter 22. And it's this vision of Jesus, it's this revelation of Jesus that blesses those who read this letter and take the words of this letter to heart. If we go in trying to answer all of those questions, we come away not blessed, but sometimes petrified, just scared to death. Fear is just intensified in our hearts. That's not the purpose of this book. The purpose of this book is to give assurance to those who know the Lord, to really anchor them to his love, his grace, his mercy, and give them confidence to look forward to his return. And that's what this chapter is all about, the second coming of Christ Jesus. He says several times in this particular chapter, I am coming soon. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the Spirit echoes that, come Lord Jesus, the bride, those of us who know the Lord, who have clothed ourselves in his robes of righteousness, we say, come Lord Jesus as well. Why? Because we've seen him for who he is. We know the victory and the power that he has, and that's what we live in today. So his second coming is a welcomed appearance, and it's powerful. But we also see some other things in this book that really tie back to Genesis 1 and 2, don't we, Richard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this chapter and the previous one are very close mirrors of Genesis 1 and 2. I mean, out of nothing, right? All of this sin junk has been blown away, and God recreates the heavens and the earth. And, you know, we can't conceive of what Eden was like because we're on this side of it, nor can we conceive of what it's going to be like when God recreates it. But we are promised that this recreation is finished.
Yes, indeed. And it's interesting. John takes us back to the garden, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
We see, you know, a river that contains the
yes.
water of life flowing through. We see the tree of life on either side.
Mm-hmm.
And every month, a new crop of fruit is produced to show God's constant provision for his children. So John takes us right back to the garden, but a refashioned, a reshaped, reformed
yes.
garden that will never suffer the likes of what it did before when Satan came in and appealed to Adam and Eve and deceived them. That will never take place in this new garden. And this new garden is somehow attached to this new Jerusalem. But there's, you know, I love the apostolic writers. They're always thinking about how to bring more into the kingdom.
Yes.
And here in this final chapter, we see a glorious invitation to those who are thirsty and an invitation to come to Jesus and to drink of the living water. And you made an excellent point right before the broadcast.
Well, yeah, my whole life, well, not my whole life, but a lot of my early life, any evangelism that I was part of or attended or learned how to do focused in Revelation and was all about, oh, man, you don't want to get the mark of the beast. Oh, you don't want the mark of the beast. You don't want to be Babylon. You don't want to be any of this stuff. And we try to scare people into the kingdom. And right here in this chapter is the pattern for evangelism. Jesus invites us to come and receive eternal life. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Just come to Jesus.
Yeah, so John has a vision here of a statement that he wrote in his gospel account. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Mm-hmm. Jesus was saying this. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And John sees that vision in this particular chapter and extends that invitation again to those who are thirsty. Come unto Jesus. You will find drink that will quench your thirst and that will actually become streams of living water flowing out of you. So a powerful, powerful statement. He gives a final warning in this particular chapter not to add to this letter or to take away. The gospel message is the gospel message. Mm-hmm. Jesus alone saves. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. It's him and him alone, his work and his work alone. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. Sometimes we just look at the cross and we think that his death is everything, but that's not enough. That's why he was buried and was raised back to life. That's a singular event, so we need to leave it for what it is and understand it for what it is. And we can't add to it. We can't say his death, burial, and resurrection plus our water baptism is going to save us, or plus our church attendance, or plus our giving record is going to save us. It's simply the death, burial, and resurrection. It's simple, it's powerful, it's life-changing.
Yeah, sure is.
So, and then I love the way he ends it, the last word, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. We were saved by grace through faith. We're sustained by grace through faith. We are going to be singing the praises of God's grace eternally.
Yeah.
It's amazing, an amazing book. Well, thank you all for journeying with us through this series. If you have questions about the book of Revelation or anything else that may be on your heart or mind, we invite you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Again, 1-800-677-9377. We're going to go to New York, New York, and talk with Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
How are you doing? I love your program.
Well, thank you so much, Frank. Thanks for joining us today.
Listen, I have a question. Today's Halloween, and I have a lot of people that are claiming to be Christian, but dress themselves up like vampires and zombies, and, you know, they celebrate Halloween. And my question is it a proper thing to do as a Christian? I mean, if Jesus was to come and he finds you dress up like a little demon, will he be happy with that?
Well, I don't know that he would be happy about that. You know, the Word of God really doesn't speak to Halloween per se, but it does speak about the spiritual forces of darkness that are alive and well.
Witchcraft, right?
Yeah, it does.
I believe Paul wrote to Galatians and mentioned witchcraft. Whoever participates in witchcraft
Yeah, I read.
Not inherit the kingdom.
Yeah,
of God,
I agree.
Right?
So I agree with all that.
Halloween is part of witchcraft, right?
Well, that's what I was saying, Frank. That it doesn't speak specifically about Halloween. That's something that we invented much later. But it does speak to all the elements that are a part of Halloween. And so I think we need to recognize that. You know, I think Halloween has become somewhat benign for families that celebrate it, that dress their kids up and send them out to trick-or-treat. I don't think they're thinking about, you know, the evil and all of the things that are underneath or the backstory of this particular day. We've always viewed it as a great opportunity to share the Lord. If you're in a neighborhood and you have people, kids coming to your house, use it as an opportunity to put a gospel track in their bag. We created a gospel track a number of years ago, and we had quite a number of stories come back from both parents and children who read that and received Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we have some opportunities. I think we as Christians, we're not going to change the fact that people celebrate Halloween. We're not going to change the fact that folks dress up and go out and trick-or-treat and all of those sort of things. We're not going to change the fact that some actually invest, you know, take away the real meaning of it, you know, are evil and want to take part in sorcery and all of those sort of things. We're not going to change that. But what we can do is take advantage of whatever opportunities are before us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think that's a powerful opportunity.
Well, we shouldn't promote it, right? I mean, I've seen some churches putting signs up, come to the Halloween party here. I mean, they're promoting it. It's kind of like what Jesus said, a fountain cannot give sweet water and salt water. We cannot serve two masters because...
Well, Frank, here's what I'll say to you.
It's a critical situation. It's very critical.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say to you, Frank. You know, we can make some general statements, but I know there's a big church real close to our facility here in Carrollton, Texas. They're having a huge event tonight. They're not calling it a Halloween event, but I know they're giving an alternative, something that church families can come to and invite friends, and they're utilizing that as an evangelistic opportunity. And, you know, you look at that and say, praise the Lord. Now, there are other churches that may say we're having a Halloween event. When I was a kid, our church, we did a haunted house. And, you know, I look back at that and think, what in the world were we doing? we were kind of missing the point there. But I think some people, some churches are going to take things a little bit too far. That's just part of human nature. But we can't really judge the intent of a human heart. But Frank, I think you bring up some excellent points here. The reality is this: there are spiritual forces of darkness. As Paul wrote in Ephesians, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against those spiritual forces of darkness. And those spiritual forces of darkness have evil intent for us. They operate under the philosophy of Satan himself, whose sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy.
He comes as an angel of light.
That's what they're after.
And I just want to let everyone out there, I just want them to know that Halloween is a satanic, demonic day. There's no way of sugarcoating it. And me as a father, I will not dress up my little children like little demons, little witches, and go on and bring them trick-or-treating. I will not do it. I will not participate.
Well, Frank, I appreciate those.
I cannot partake.
Frank, I appreciate those strong convictions, and praise the Lord for that. Well, thank you so much for your call today.
Frank brings up an interesting issue, and that's what children of God have to wrestle with all the time. The question is, how do we engage with our world? I mean, a lot of people watched the World Series last night and celebrated with Boston. But there were people who were celebrating in Boston who were trying to destroy things. They were tipping over cars and doing it. And where do you go? How far is too far? What do you do with holidays in general? It's an interesting question. And what you find yourself doing is saying, Lord, what would you have me do? How would you have me be in relationship with my neighbors and all of this stuff? I know that in my past, when I was so buried in legalism, my wife and I would, you know, we had opportunities to help in our neighborhood, for instance, on certain work days and all of that. And if it came at the wrong time, if it was on the Sabbath or something like that, we would sit in our house and judge those people for working on the Sabbath. And they were out there looking at us, sitting in our house, judging us for not participating. And we've got to ask questions about how do I best take Jesus to people? Sometimes having a strong stand like Frank did is exactly the right thing. Sometimes you have to listen to the Spirit and he gives you a softer answer. And there's no one size fits all, because the Spirit needs to reach each individual person in a unique way. And sometimes he invites us to help do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it gets right back to the point that you were making earlier about Revelation 22,
yeah,
about how to share the good news. You know, the invitation in Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And then it says, let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. We know that whatever the world is doing out there, underneath is a thirst for something more.
Yes.
And what they're thirsting for is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to hone in on. That's what we need to connect with. Not all of this other stuff, but to say there's something going on deep within you. You long for water that will truly quench your thirst.
Yes.
And be everlasting to you. Well, that water is found in Jesus. So if we're going to be effective in our evangelism, we really need to connect with someone's real problem, what's really happening inside of them. And that's this thirst for living water. That is the good news, and that can only be experienced through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Well, that's what this program is all about, Basic Gospel. Yesterday we made mention of a challenge. One of our board members gave a $10,000 gift to this outreach, and in my conversation with him, he said, you know, use this in any way. But one thing that's of interest to me, maybe you could go on air and challenge listeners to match it over the next several days. So we're doing that. We have this wonderful gift. It's a gift because this board member knows what's happening in the ministry. He knows, you know, the direction we're headed. He knows the opportunities that we have to connect many more people to the love of Jesus Christ. But we need others to come alongside with us. In the last several months, we've had about 150 new people say, I want to join the Basic Gospel family. I want to be a part of Basic Gospel Nation, so to speak. And we are so grateful for their participation in this work. But we need others. We need more folks to stand with us so we can reach out beyond our current scope of ministry, so that we can keep moving those lines further and further out and reaching more and more people. There are folks who need truth. There are folks who need to know that there's living water available in Christ Jesus. Help us reach those people. You can do so by going online right now to basicgospel.net. Just click the support link and follow all of the instructions. You can give a one-time gift, or you can make a recurring gift, become a part of our monthly giving club. We need folks like that. You can call right now our toll-free order line, 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Talk to Billy, talk to some of the others on our staff. Just tell them that you would like to make a contribution to Basic Gospel. in view of this matching gift challenge, and they will walk you through that process. Or you could write to us. Send a check by mail. Our address is Basic Gospel, 1225 East Rosemead Parkway, Rosemeade Parkway, Carrollton, Texas, 75007. But this is a great opportunity to multiply your gift. A $20 gift is like you're giving 40. And every dollar reaches X number of people. We calculated it not too long ago. You know, a $40 gift will help us reach about 110 people. That's pretty significant.
It is.
That's getting a lot of bang out of the buck. So join with us. And if you can do so, join with us today. We would greatly appreciate that.
Now, real quickly here before we close, I've got a question, and I think it's important in the context of Revelation. When Jesus was talking about his Father, and you know, he said things like, I only speak as the Father tells me to speak, and he tells me how to say it. And then on the cross, he says, why have you forsaken me? How do you put those two things together? And I think the answer to that really is one of the pieces of the revelation.
Yes, it is. And that's a quote from the Psalm, Psalm 22. And that particular psalm is a description of the crucifixion. Hundreds of years before crucifixion became a form of execution. So it goes into pretty minute detail as to what crucifixion was to look like. And so Jesus said that some way as an identifier, that what you've read about in the writings, in the Holy Scriptures, is coming truth today. So he's making a connection there.
Yeah.
And he does that after his resurrection when he goes along with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He takes them back through the law and through the prophets and through the writings, and he shows to them that everything in there was actually pointing to Jesus.
Yes.
Even in a conversation with the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures because you are hoping to find eternal life, but these are the scriptures that bear witness to me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So in many ways, it was an identifier as to what was happening to the people. And second, the human Jesus. It was the human Jesus that died. And when he took upon himself the sins of the world, that clouded everything. He felt, as a human being, that separation between him and his Father. Yet his Father was there to tend for him and care for him. Third day, raised him back to life. And Jesus ascended into heaven, and he took his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father, a place of authority, a place of power, a place of honor. And it's this Jesus that the Word of God says, come. If you're thirsty, come to him. That's the message. And it's a powerful, powerful message. Well, we certainly thank you for joining us on today's Basic Gospel broadcast. We'll be back again tomorrow for another edition. Tomorrow is a special edition. This is a ministry about changed lives. We're going to share some of those stories with you tomorrow, and I know it'll be a fantastic encouragement to you. As we go off the air today, just a reminder about our matching gift challenge. Give to support what God is doing through this outreach of connecting many, many new people to the love of Jesus Christ, helping others who are in Christ to know that their sins have been forgiven, that they do have eternal life, that nothing can separate them from the love of God. Those are the types of things that happen as a result of this broadcast in the lives of people, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And as our way of saying thank you, we will put Richard's booklet, Guaranteed Future, into your hands. And for a gift of $50 or more, we will send you the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, a powerful, powerful resource to anchor you to this salvation that you have in Christ. Well, again, for all of us here, Richard, Greg, and the gang. My name is Bob Christopher. We'll see you again tomorrow.